It was decided to install the analyzer in four of our heaviest ships so that each of the main fleets could be equipped with one. At this stage, the trouble began, though we did not know it until later. The analyzer contained just short of 1 million vacuum tubes and needed a team of 500 technicians to maintain and operate it. It was quite impossible to accommodate the extra staff aboard a battleship, so each of the four units had to be accompanied by a converted liner to carry the technicians not on duty. Installation was also a very slow and tedious business, but by gigantic efforts it was completed in 6 months. Then, to our dismay, we were confronted by another crisis. Nearly 5,000 highly skilled men had been selected to serve the analyzers and had been given an intensive course at the technical training schools. At the end of 7 months, 10% of them had had nervous breakdowns, and only 40% had qualified. Once again, everyone started to blame everyone else. Norton, of course, said that the research staff could not be held responsible and so incurred the enmity of the personnel and training commands. It was finally decided that the only thing to do was to use two instead of four analyzers and to bring the others into action as soon as men could be trained. There was little time to lose, for the enemy was still on the offensive and his morale was rising. The first analyzer fleet was ordered to recapture the system of Ariston. On the way, by one of the hazards of war, the liner carrying the technicians was struck by a roving mine. A warship would have survived, but the liner, with its irreplaceable cargo, was totally destroyed. So the operation had to be abandoned. The other expedition was, at first, more successful. There was no doubt at all that the analyzer fulfilled its designer's claims, and the enemy was defeated in the first engagements. He withdrew, leaving us in possession of Safran, Lucan, and Hexanarax. But his intelligence staff must have noted the change in our tactics and the inexplicable presence of a liner in the heart of our battle fleet. It must have noted also that our first fleet had been accompanied by a similar ship, and had withdrawn when it had been destroyed. In the next engagement, the enemy used his superior numbers to launch an overwhelming attack on the analyzer ship and its unarmed consort. The attack was made without regard to losses. Both ships were, of course, very heavily protected, and it succeeded. The result was the virtual decapitation of the fleet, since an ineffectual transfer to the old operational methods proved impossible. We disengaged under heavy fire and so lost all our gains, and also the systems of Lorimia, Ismarnus, Baronus, Alphanadon, and Sidenius. At this stage, Grand Admiral Taxaris expressed his disapproval of Norton by committing suicide, and I assumed supreme command. The situation was now both serious and infuriating. With stubborn conservatism and complete lack of imagination, the enemy continued to advance with his old-fashioned and inefficient but now vastly more numerous ships. It was galling to realize that if we had only continued building without seeking new weapons, we would have been in a far more advantageous position. There were many acrimonious conflicts.